on 1116 SEN. Hungry for sport with Kevin Bartlett for Audi Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
9:07, good morning and welcome to the program. Seriously, some consideration has to be given to who could be available to unveil Richmond's Premiership flag. You have to book people in advance for these big occasions. The Tigers made the undefeated Freo look second rate. Dockers were made to look slow and lazy as Richmond ripped apart Freo's strangling tactics. The game was all but over at quarter time and was put to sleep by half time. Only a very good team puts the Dockers away that early in a contest. Look at this talent. Martin, Ellis, Cochin, DeLee, Edio, Edwards, Revolt, Rance, Flossstone, Griffiths. Where does it stop? Tiger time is ticking in the right direction. It's been a long wait and one can now smell success. Channel 7 commentators were still giving the Dockers a chance 20 minutes after the game when everyone else knew the game was dead and buried. So can I confirm the result? Tigers by 27 over Freo. I'm KB. That's my take.
Hasn't kicked a goal tonight. The boy from Shepparton out of the fruit bowl to make it less than 30 points. He kicks it. Game on at Domain. Down to Main. Now Crozier. Ballantyne was on. Which way does it bounce? It bounces Fremantle's way. Can this start something? Walters. Walters kicks it. Here they come, Fremantle.
Fremantle still alive. 22 points, 12 42 to play. Fremantle, 21 points down. It's not quite over yet. So right now, 20 points with 4.5 to play. It looks just a little bit too much, but a very quick goal, and it looks so different. And Fremantle could not have been more up and or going. A great win for Richmond. Their sixth of the season, and they get home by 27 points. Maybe a win that starts something big in 2015.
9429 1116 is our famous talkback number, 0433981116. If you want to send through an SMS, you want to tweet at Kevin Bartlett 29, or you can tweet at Hungry for Sport. Coming up, Patrick Smith is about to join us, taking your calls on all things sport. It's always your forum to fire up his famous goose and goose as well. Brett Phillips with all the action from the French, Mark Allen with all the action from the golf, the People's Champion. Nick Bowen joins us, AFL.com.au with the injury report and also the match review panel charges. Jeff Harris with all the action from the Formula One Grand Prix, and then Weekend Siren with Terry Wallace and Martin Blake, taking your calls on what's been a huge weekend of football. But coming up, Patrick Smith.
Any chance you just don't worry about the words and start with showing your intent with some actions? Now, the bottomless pit of idiocy behind those comments by both men is both chilling and disturbing. If you're harassed short of King hitting, go for it. Now, that is insane. So inappropriate. If we didn't have WADA, we wouldn't have sport, because nobody would believe one thing that they saw on a football field, a track field, a swimming pool, anything.
On Hungry for Sport, Patrick Smith.
Good morning, Patrick.
Oh, good morning, Kevin. Look, I don't want to put a dampener on your take, but you didn't win. Freo got up.
No, they didn't, Patrick. No, no.
Freo got up. I was listening, Kevin. I was watching. They came home like a train.
They were coming home like a train, but they fell short in the end.
Oh, I'd check that, Kevin. Look, it was a lovely take, and I know the amount of work you put into it. I think you didn't get up. I think you just nodded in the last moment, Kevin.
Oh, I thought it was fantastic. It was a great performance.
I think Basil kicked the winning goal.
Basil did kick the winning goal. It was a great effort by the Tigers on the weekend. You know, to beat a side
that was undefeated,
so... You know, maybe the Tigers, maybe it is Tiger time for the Tigers. I'd love to hear from Richmond supporters today and just feel now whether or not that confidence is absolutely growing and maybe there's a top four finish for the Tigers.
Well, I've seen two fantastic first quarters this season. That was Port Adelaide against Hawthorn over at Adelaide. That they were simply magnificent in that first quarter, breathtaking footy. And then the precision of Richmond away from home to dismantle Fremantle in that first quarter was nearly the equal of what Port did to Hawthorn. It was brilliant.
9429.
So you're a believer?
Yes, I'm a believer. I'm a believer. If you want to talk about your side on the weekend, of course, Geelong were very good over the Bombers. The Bombers were very, very poor, couldn't kick a goal in the first half. Tim Watson on Morning Glory this morning was discussing the AFL Asada situation.
I'll tell you how independent they were, those panel members. The AFL was still trying to do a deal with Essendon on the Sunday night before the tribunal handed down its penalty, or not penalty. That's how independent
because
they were.
Because the AFL didn't know what was coming.
AFL had no idea what was coming. Fact. F-A-C-T. The AFL, alongside ASADA, were prosecuting the players. I'll repeat that. The AFL, alongside ASADA, were prosecuting the players. The AFL weren't helping the Essendon football players in any way.
Mm.
And for people to suggest that there was no independence with that tribunal is just absolute rubbish. Mm. Short of Roy Masters, Caroline Wilson, and Tim and Sam Lane sitting on CAS hearing this case, the same verdict will be returned.
Right.
Because the evidence is the evidence.
Patrick, what was the AFL still trying to do a deal with Essendon for?
Well, look, I'll disagree slightly there with Tim. I certainly agree with Tim that the tribunal was utterly independent of the AFL. You can't suggest otherwise,
no.
Because you're then saying these people who, you know, former judges and solicitors and who sat on the tribunal were somehow compromised. I don't believe that at all. I think they independently came to that decision.
I don't think ASADA was happy that people from within the game were sitting in judgment.
No, that's ASADA's issue,
yep.
That they would like it taken away completely out of the AFL environment. And that's why WADA's appealed, you would think. But I honestly believe the vast majority of people think that was an independent result. And when you read the reasoning, I think Tim's absolutely right. It's hard to imagine any other body coming to any other decision than the one the AFL tribunal reached. It wasn't so much of a decision about whether the players were given thiamycin beta 4. They're actually challenging that it was even on the property, the tribunal. They can't be comfortably satisfied that it was actually that drug even got to Essendon. Never mind the next huge step of somebody giving it to the to the players. So that's that part. But I reckon just because the AFL was trying to do a deal 2 days before doesn't necessarily say that the AFL tribunal is independent. I'm maintaining that it is. But if you knew the result and you didn't like the result, you may be crafty enough, if you like, to try and get that deal done in your favour 2 days before, which makes the idea of the AFL trying to do a deal while the tribunal was sitting, I think, repulsive, because it underlines that the AFL, in the eyes of the supporter, the bloke is sitting in the seat on the ground at the grounds every Saturday, Sunday, they think the AFL connives. They think they do deals. They think they go behind due process and try and stitch up deals. We saw it with Mike Fitzpatrick getting John Wiley to act on his behalf. Why? What's John Wiley got to do with the AFL process? Why are we going through these back doors? That's what people hate about the AFL. They're always doing deals. Secretly, not transparently, they are doing deals. And it is an issue with the AFL that it cannot shrug off. It's almost as it habitually and chronically has to do a deal. It cannot appear to let a process run out. And that's the issue I have with what Tim mentioned. I mean, I think people are pretty satisfied that the AFL tribunal was independent. But this dealing, I think it is a blight on the AFL administration.
But once it got to the AFL tribunal, surely you don't try and broker deals from that point on. I mean, even if it had gone to the appeals tribunal, I mean, obviously ASADA didn't appeal that, Patrick, because they probably felt the same, that, you know, there was people involved who had an association with the game and therefore may have had, you know, a spot for the game. Doesn't mean they're not independent, because both those panels have to be independent of the AFL. So once it went to one of those panels, or both those panels, surely you step aside, Pat, and let it run its course.
Yes.
As Tim said, look, I mean, you're prosecuting players along with ASADA. Well, let it run its course.
I reckon everybody, once it went to the tribunal, everybody would have thought that the AFL blokes would have packed up their folders, put them in their briefcase and put them down and said, well, that's us. We've done everything. Now, let this tribunal run its course and they'll make a decision. And then we'll get active again, whether we have to fight and appeal or whatever we do. But to think that they were actively trying to get a result before the tribunal gave its verdict, I think most AFL people, supporters, would find repulsive.
It was an in-camera case, Pat, and all we used to get was just reports that, you know, the day's proceedings had finished and something had been tabled or some evidence had been tabled and back again tomorrow. I remember Patrick Keane used to tweet that all the time. So, obviously, you know, the impression was that this was happening without, you know, other people interfering in any shape or form. It was at the AFL tribunal at that stage and it was everything was held in camera. And no one knew what was going on.
Yeah, exactly right.
Until we heard the result, whatever the result was.
My understanding, Kevin, is the findings of the tribunal can be made public if the 34 players agree. Now, some haven't. A majority clearly hasn't. But I think it would be it would do the players, be a favour for the players if they said release these findings, because when you'd have to wade through a lot of documents, but when you do, you'll find. The Asada case was weak. It was so circumstantial, the tribunal couldn't even be comfortably satisfied the stuff was on the property. So that's a pretty weak case. Now, that's not completely understood. People just think that, well, they couldn't quite prove it. Well, it was a lot more than that. They couldn't even prove the drug was at Essendon. So they ought to release that so people can read it and interpret it the way they want to. And the way they'll interpret it is that Essendon, in fact, didn't have a case to answer.
We'll take a break. We're coming back. We can take your calls, 94291116. So as your forum to fire up your ticks and crosses from what's been a big weekend in sport.
Something probably just important to his game. He probably is a little bit, years previously, a bit of a gentle giant, but we've sort of been encouraging to play like the Luke Hodges of the world that use their body as a battering ram. We think for Dustin to play his best footy and to take his game to a new level, that's where his game has to go. And, you know, the one area of the game we certainly felt could improve for Dustin. We're starting to reap the dividends of that, I think, over the last couple of weeks. It's been really impressive by the lads.
Damien Hardwick just imploring Dustin Martin to play a little bit more like Luke Hodge. He was fantastic on the weekend against the Dockers. 9-4-2-9-16, we're taking your ticks and crosses from what's been a big weekend of sport. Johnny's in Croydon. G'day, John.
G'day. How you going, Kevin? A very, very happy Richmond supporter, and I just want to let you know, I want to keep a lid on it. No, I don't.
No, it does want to keep a lid on it.
Why should you?
Why should you keep a lid on it, Patrick?
No, I don't think you should.
Undefeated Dockers, and everyone was shaking in their boots, going across there to Subiaco. And
you've never lost faith?
Never lost faith,
no.
Patrick. Never, ever lost faith. I've given advice,
yes.
But I've never lost faith. Patrick is in Keilor. G'day, Patrick.
Hey, how are we?
Good, thanks.
I can't ever watch a Tigers game. I go for the Tigers. I'll listen to it on the radio because you miss little bits and pieces. They don't give you the whole detail. When I watch it, it's maddening. But when I heard we got off to the good start, I thought, oh, I don't know if I want to turn it on yet. I don't know if I want to turn it on yet. And I just kept listening on the radio, hoping that we're going to keep holding on. I couldn't bring myself to turn on the TV. I waited till it was over, made sure we won, and then I watched it.
What are you going to do if KB says you make the grand final and win the flag, are you going to watch it then?
I'll probably watch that. I mean, you don't mind losing. I mean, you don't mind losing once if you got there. It'd be nice to win, but at least you'd got there.
Who do you think will unfurl the flag for you? Because Kevin's got a short list.
Well, I'm just suggesting, Patrick, that you've got to book people in advance. They're very busy that time of the year.
You don't get ahead of yourself, do you?
No. That's
never been a trade at Richmond.
That's the good thing about Richmond and Tigerland. We never, ever, ever get ahead of ourselves. Ronnie's in Craigieburn. Wants to agree with you on something. Patrick, g'day, Ronnie.
How you going, boys? Patrick, I don't really agree with everything you say, but this morning I have to. Asada, Essendon and the AFL have all been dirty in this. Essendon have copped their whack at the moment, and all these dirty back door deals the AFL try and do, mate, one day it's going to come back and haunt them because it'll come out.
Well, what it does do, I reckon it weakens our faith in all the decisions the AFL eventually reach if we believe or if we can't trust that what we see is what we actually get, then I think we start to doubt other decisions that the AFL will make. There's no doubt, Kevin, that this has crushed Essendon, the players, and we saw that on the weekend. You can't make... There was no other explanation for what Essendon put forward as the playing group, was that they had simply just been crushed. They now dread playing footy because it's just another challenge. They had to beat Geelong to keep their season alive. So there's another enormous challenge in front of them. And without Job there, I think that they really lose their leadership, but I think he has spiritually been the force that has kept them together.
And he's the conduit.
I think so, and I think that, you know, he bonds them, and they just fell apart on the weekend. And the fans that booed them at half-time, how dare they boo those players after 2.5 years of what they've been put through for no reason of their own? And the supporters have the gall, the lack of class, the lack of sophistication to boo those players at half-time. They should be ashamed of themselves.
Essendon fans, if you booed at half-time, give us a buzz. Or if you're an Essendon fan, were you disgusted with the booing at half-time as well? Also, do you believe that all of a sudden, as James Heard has suggested, you know, the fog's in and sort of clouding the brain a little bit at the moment, because they played some good football over that period of time, Patrick, with all the pressures of on a day-to-day basis. But it does seem that if you go back to when the WADA decided to appeal it, it seemed maybe at that stage all the club and all the players were thinking that maybe that wasn't going to happen. Now, whether or not they had anything to base that on, don't know, or any feedback, you're not quite certain what's happening behind the scenes these days, if that's the case. But when it finally came out that WADA, in fact, was going to appeal and maybe this case is going to be heard overseas, do you think that was the final straw?
Yes, definitely. I think that they got a
kick in the backside or something they didn't expect.
When they got the tribunal finding, and when they went through and it was all explained to them that, you know, this is a fantastic finding for you, because they can't even place the drug at Essendon. So this is a fantastic finding. You're in the clear. You've gone through hell, but now it's over. And then they get the WADA appeal, which is not an appeal that the AFL would have had, which that ASADA would have been able to do, which was just to go to the appeals board of the AFL. This is a rehearing of the case to CASA, a totally independent body of WADA's, not making, but part of the WADA system, that may well be heard in Europe. Kevin, it's hard to understand how crippling that blow would be to players after 2.5 years.
This is what James Heard had to say discussing the Essendon supporters after the game.
Our supporters are extremely passionate, extremely loyal, and you know, they've got every right to be disappointed the way we played tonight. I don't think booing is the right way, but we didn't play well enough in the first half, and our supporters deserve more, and they've been terrific. They have supported us through everything that we've been through. They've bought, you know, memberships at record levels, and they've got every right to express their frustration the way we're playing, because we were very frustrated as well at half-time. The players are frustrated, so we need them to stick by us, and I'm sure they will.
Your ticks and crosses from what's been a huge weekend of sport. Leon is in Caulfield. G'day, Leon.
Yeah, g'day, KB. G'day, Patrick. Look, Essendon supporter certainly didn't boo on Saturday night. I was pretty disgusted. I heard the booings. Look, all I would say is that the supporters themselves, I know, you know, the game is fundamentally about the supporters, the players and the supporters. We've been through a lot, and I was disgusted by my fellow supporters doing that. I kind of understand the frustration that we've been facing. We also can't get away from it. It's very, very hard being an Essendon supporter at the moment. You want to be loyal. You want to stick fat. It's just really tough.
Sure. My point would be that if you wanted the time to boo was when you found out that a completely reckless football department had employed Stephen Dank to do God knows what, and you've got a football department that can't tell you what the players exactly got. That was the time to boo, not 2.5 years later, and then boo the players. Boo the administration. Boo the football department 2.5 years ago. Good grief.
Leon, thanks for your call as we go to the break, Pat. Also, Adam Goods was booed again on the weekend, sitting down watching that game against the Gold Coast. There was a lot of booing every time he went near the ball.
Yeah, disappointing. More and more people are coming out at players and opposition players saying, look, just stop it. It's not appropriate. He's totally unworthy of you to boo a player.
They're booing
like
for Goods. The sake of booing, are they?
But Pat? I now think, Kevin, you know what the Australian larrikin is like. He, for the sake of the booing, they may well just be doing it now. McLaughlin said don't do it, which is enough reason to do it. And whether it's now just part of the day at the football is to boo Goods, that may be part of it.
Time for Sports Central, 9:42, 9:16. Coming back with your calls. You can always set the sporting agenda. What's on your mind? Huge weekend of sport. 9:42, 9:16. Your ticks and crosses. 0433 98 11 16. You may want to talk about Daniel Gill, of course, got knocked out by Miguel Cotto. You would have been across that, Pat. Also, we had Stan Wawrinka, of course, beating Djokovic. You haven't caught up with that. He's won the French in four sets. Brett Phillips will join us after 10 o'clock as well. And Tiger Woods playing by himself today in the last round of the Memorial. Shot a magnificent 74.
Lock his kick inside the 50.
And there's the challenge. Melbourne have defeated Collingwood. Queen's birthday. Robinson's having a shot after the siren for goal number 7. Presently they lead by 7 points and Robinson comes in. Straight through the centre.
Siren, it's a draw. It is a draw at the MCG on the Queen's birthday Monday, 76 apiece. It's all tied up here at the MCG.
Well, there's some of the great highlights from Queen's birthday. And, of course, Chris Tarrant's screamer in 2001. You may have some highlights yourself. You may want to talk about 9:42, 9:16. Russell Robinson booting 7 goals for the Demons. That was their last win back in 2007. Of course, there was a drawn game in 2010. And, of course, Robbo still doing some great work for the Demons at the moment. From midday today, we'll be live from the MCG, the concourse, with Anthony Hudson. Cam Mooney's going to be there. Mark Robinson and Dermot Brereton. As we build up to what is going to be a big game between Melbourne and Collingwood, Queen's birthday clash is always a killer dilla. Clash is also today part of the big freeze at the G, and we're trying to find a cure for MND. If you'd like to donate, head to freezemnd.com for more information. The AFL has also just announced that the player judged best of field in today's game will be awarded the Neil Danaher Trophy. That's been well supported.
Idea.
Yes, it's just come through from the AFL. It's been supported by both clubs, Patrick, and is going to be presented annually following each Queen's birthday clash between these two sides. And the judging panel for today's game will be Tim Watson, Terry Danaher, Nick Maxwell and Gary Lyon.
Now, Kevin, can I
be a big crowd today. I've got a feeling there's going to be a huge crowd to turn up today to support Neil Danaher. I know sometimes in the past this game hasn't attracted the biggest crowd because it's a long weekend and people can be away, but I've just got a bit of a feeling today that people are going to turn up, be part of the day of raising money as well.
Well, he's such an admired man, Neil Danaher, always has been as a player and as a coach. I think he has the support of the greater football community, there's no doubt. Kevin, I need to clarify something. I've spoken to senior AFL officials in that last break.
Yep.
They have no knowledge of any attempt to do a deal 2 days, 3 days, any days before the AFL tribunal made its decision. They would be staggered if that was the case. They are making further inquiries just to make sure of their ground. But their response to Tim's claim is that they have no knowledge of it and they believe that to be wrong.
Okay. Well, Tim was fired up about it. I know the boys on Morning Glory said Tim was really fired up towards the end of the program and he wanted to get that off his chest. So, okay. So the
yes,
AFL at this stage,
no
knowledge according to your sources of any attempt to do a deal.
These are senior,
with the Essendon
AFL, senior AFL sources who would know.
Should know.
Who should know. That's not to say Tim is wrong.
No.
But that's the AFL position and they are checking further.
Let's go to our callers, 9429M16. Your ticks and crosses from what's been a huge weekend of sport and has got one big game to continue on today as well with Melbourne taking on the Pies. Alan's in Endeavour Hills. G'day, Alan.
G'day, Kevin. I happened to be at the match the other night. I've followed Essendon since 1945. They were booing umpire in the AFL itself. Don't rip the Essendon supporters down to the low level of Collingwood. Just leave them alone. And they'll either be guilty or not guilty. But don't allow umpiring just
no, I don't think that's right.
Their rules.
No, you can't get away with that. That's not right. There was vision there of supporters leaning over, clutching their jumper, holding the red stripe over their hearts, clearly having a go at the Essendon supporters for not giving. You can't get away with that.
Some SMSs, Patrick, are saying, you know, there's always a small minority of supporters who sometimes are not appreciative, but it's not the overall picture of the club of Essendon supporters who are truly behind the players and their club. And those supporters who might elect to boo or to jeer the players is not a correct representation of Essendon fans.
Well, no, I would agree with that, Kevin, that whatever that... You know, it might have been a small proportion or a big proportion, but it was certainly a loud proportion. And for them to boo the players is an utter disgrace.
Now, also, a lot of SMSs have come in since I mentioned Adam Goods as well, and they're saying, address the booing by Gold Coast supporters regarding Adam Goods. We did speak about it, you know, probably 10 minutes ago, that, Patrick, you believe that, you know, the people booing in that game, it's just become, well, if Adam Goods gets the ball, we just boo. We don't know why we're booing, but we're just booing because it's what you do now in AFL football. You don't think it was a racist booing on the weekend? I suppose what people are getting at, people are saying that the Hawthorn fans, and these are probably Hawthorn fans sending through the SMS, that the Hawthorn fans were racist in their booing of Adam Goods, and now they're saying, well, what about the Gold Coast fans?
Well, I think there would be an element of that, definitely. The reason that they're booing is because they see Adam Goods as a strong Indigenous player with strong views that they don't particularly want to have voiced publicly and voiced in their direction. There is definitely an element of that. No one can walk away from it.
From Gold Coast supporters as well?
From all supporters.
Yep. Okay.
But
because he does
I
get
think it's
by
growing.
Most, in most games.
Sorry?
He does get booed in most
games.
Yeah,
I think there is an element. How big an element, I'm not sure. But I think there's an element of going along with it because that's what you do. When Cruiser gets the ball, you know, they go, Crew, and that grows. I think there's part of that is with this element of Goods.
Even
but
with...
at the heart of it, I believe, is racially driven. Now, I'll only be convinced otherwise if Boomer Harvey is booed, because remember, people say they're booing Goods because he stages for free kicks.
Yep.
Well, Boomer Harvey just cheated to get a 50-metre off Pritis. When he flicked the ball out of Pritis's hand, the umpire didn't see it, but he saw the ball bobble free, so he gave a 50. Now, I want to see people boo Boomer Harvey because that... is no less cheating than staging for a free kick.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll take your calls. Goose and Goose coming up as well. I know you've got a lot of nominations on Twitter. We'll take a break and then back with your call.
It's now time for Patrick Smith's Goose.
So I'm happy now at this moment.
And Goose of the Week. On 11:16 SEN.
I dare say, Patrick, a lot of nominations on Twitter.
Oh, yes, overwhelming, Kevin. Thanks again to all our listeners and our tweeters. Kevin, because you get terribly upset if I don't go in an order you like, who do you want to go first with? Goose or Goose?
Give me the Goose.
Goose.
Yeah.
Well.
The Good.
Well, American Pharaoh wins
yes.
the Triple Crown.
Fantastic. First time in, what,
37
years?
Yep.
Yes.
I reckon John Barker. We got a lot of nominations from him on Twitter because he... seem to get a bit of life back into Carlton. I've got a theory on that I might talk to you later
okay.
about. Adam Voges knocks up a ton.
Yes. Well, it's going to be hard to beat the oldest person ever to make a ton
Kevin,
off the boot,
Kevin, I'll decide what's hard to beat.
Okay, all right.
Thank you.
Okay. Just thought I'd throw it in, that's
Richmond,
all.
Brilliant performance over in Fremantle.
Yes.
Startling first quarter. Stan Wawrinka wins his second Grand Slam, knocks off the Joker.
The unbeatable Joker.
Might never get it now, the Joker, the full Grand Slam. And then there was Serena Williams.
Who's...
The winner is Kevin.
Yes,
for Goose, or Goose.
Goose.
Goose of the week. Kevin, did you see Minji Lee shoot 67 to finish tied for fourth in the Canadian Open?
No, I didn't, Pat, but if you
but
give
I
Minji
think
Lee...
that is an overwhelming
if
performance,
If you give Minji
Kevin,
Lee Goose of the week because she shot a 64...
But, well, we haven't had a golfer win it for a long time, Kevin. And I think Minji Lee finishing tied for fourth in the Canadian Open isn't quite good enough.
No, thank God for that. Because a lot of people think that too much golf, Pat. You give too many people credit for golf as far as Goose is concerned.
Serena Williams, Kevin, winning her 20th Grand Slam now and chasing down Margaret Court, who's on 24. I think Serena Williams... I've held this position for some time. It's the most outstanding women's tennis player we've ever seen. And she's now got 20. She's a fascinating woman to watch play tennis. She's fascinating before she plays tennis. And she's fascinating afterwards.
Well, she's arguably the greatest female tennis player of all time.
No doubt.
I think she's the greatest actress tennis player of all time.
Oh, that's unfair. That's just cheap
I think
shot.
Her press conferences are hilarious.
That is just a cheap shot, Kevin. She has played in the most competitive era of tennis.
Yes.
You go back to the 60s.
No, I know that, but I'm just saying her press conferences, Pat. When she's got a cold or a sniffle, you think she's dying when she's in a press conference. She nearly collapsed off the chair, I reckon, in that press conference. She started talking that slowly and looked like that debilitating virus was just about to keel over, Pat.
Cheap and a victory, fine. That makes you happy.
Fantastic tennis player. I just think she's a great actress, that's all.
Now you mentioned that, I might give it to Minji Lee.
Okay.
Now, Goose is Serena. Goose, the Channel 7 call of Freo and Richmond, Kevin.
They've got popular, be very popular.
They've got a lot of mentions. We got one for Dermy, who gave two votes. And a couple of our listeners were very... angry with that.
What about yourself for getting Sepp Blatter to resign last week after...
Well, that would be... That's not Goose. That would make me Goose.
Gibberish of the week.
That would make me Goose.
Okay.
But Kevin, I'm selfless, humble servant of SEN. I don't push my own barrow. No. Can you call me Sir Patrick?
Yes, I can. On Queen's birthday.
Yes. What else was there? Oh, Ray's Array, Kevin. Taking out that young Trent Dermont with his shoulder. That was deadly.
So is Goose of the Week?
No, Kevin. Goose of the Week is the Channel 7 call. It was awful. And I still reckon Freo got up. I reckon you've got to double check that.
I reckon at one stage Richmond were about 4 goals up and there was 3 minutes to go. And they were still suggesting that if Freo could get a quick goal...
Quick goal, it's on.
It's on. This game is still on if they can get a quick goal. That's when I threw my shoe at the telly. We'll take a break and we'll come back and we'll take your calls. And Bill and Drew, your next cabs off the rank.
On 1116 SEN, Hungry for Sport with Kevin Bartlett for Ali Penfold Burwood, celebrating 50 years of the Penfold family.
Mark Evans phoned through just to confirm Freo won by 27 points, Pat.
They did get up. Well, I thought they were coming home hard, Kevin.
They came home very, very hard in the last 90 seconds ran away with the game. So Mark Evans just wanted to confirm that. So we thought we'd better play the Freo song that wasn't played at Subiaco on Friday night.
Well, there was somebody being trouble over that. Now, Kevin, AFL, I've spoken to two more AFL officials and they describe the suggestion that there was a meeting 2 days before the tribunal hearing to do a deal with the Essendon players as complete rubbish and that it did not happen. So
did it happen 3 days before, Pat?
No, four days before? No, it didn't happen.
Okay.
It didn't happen. That is the AFL's version. And, of course, Tim gave his earlier
version.
And that's where we stand at the moment. So the AFL completely deny what Tim said. Tim, of course, was... the father of Job and would be pretty close to the action.
Okay, so someone's got their wires crossed or someone's not quite telling the truth or Someone's been giving...
I would think there's more a miscommunication.
Miscommunication. Yeah. Okay. Billy's in Hatfield. G'day, Bill.
Patrick and Kevin, how you going?
Going great. Thanks for joining us.
I think this is sort of things worn down the Essendon supporters as well. I think we've had enough.
I'm sure you're beaten up.
Yeah, I think I'm beaten up. I don't want to go to the football anymore. And I'm a real person.
I can understand that. I can absolutely understand that the joy of football has been taken away from you over 2.5 years. This is one of the saddest stories it's the biggest and probably the saddest story a destructive story in AFL history.
Drew's on the road. G'day, Drew.
Yeah, g'day, boys. How are you going?
Good. You got a big tick for someone on the weekend?
Yeah, I've got two, actually. I've got a big tick for big Jared Ruffhead. Do you reckon he's the most versatile big man in the league at the moment?
Well, he's fantastic on the weekend. We said he actually roving the ball off the pack and, like a little man. Then he goes into the centre square and he acts like a giant ruck rover.
His little rugby kick to almost to touch.
No, look, he's an extraordinary player,
yep.
Drew.
Yep. Give him a tick, yeah.
He got a big tick on the weekend from the boys who were broadcasting that game. He certainly is an extraordinary player and maybe the key to the Mighty Hawks. Pat, always great to catch up and we'll speak tomorrow.
Cheers, Kevin.
Coming up, the news.